Good morning. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WINA Real Life with Jennifer Till, brought to you by Virginia National Bank. And Real Life is the radio show that's dedicated to women who are ready to love life and make joy a part of the daily dialogue. So here we are, ladies, 8 o'clock on a rainy Saturday morning. And I'm a little disappointed because actually I was to go golfing with my dad this afternoon. So we're going to have to, I think actually we're probably going to rent Caddyshack and rather than go golfing. And I don't know about you, but I've had a great and busy week. In fact, yesterday my son and I drove back from D.C. We had stayed up there for a night and we went to see this great collection called the Phillips Collection. And it's an art museum in this old renovated house. And it houses some amazing works of art by Georgia O'Keeffe and Matisse and Monet and Renoir and Picasso and Van Gogh. And it was just a really, really fun time to be up there with him. And so this morning when I looked outside, I saw how rainy and green everything looked. And I thought, oh, I want green tea for such a green day. And went to my tea drawer and I had no green tea. So this morning I'm just having good old Lipton's black tea. And I invite you to get your cup of coffee or your cup of tea this morning so we can let this next 60 minutes be all about us together. I'm really excited about my guest this morning. And for me personally, our conversation is really timely. Every day we all grow older, our partners, our children, our parents. And for many of us, this is it's the last group that provides some of our greatest challenges, our parents. The day of the multi-generations all living under one roof is as gone as the rotary telephone. Distance, technology, increased life expectancy are all combining to make providing support and care for aging parents harder than ever. My guest this morning is Elizabeth Swider. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning.
I'm so glad you're joining me this morning.
It's nice to be here. Yeah. It's a nice cozy day to be talking about this. And it's I'm sitting here, I'm looking at Jennifer. She was talking about it being a nice spring day, and she's wearing this beautiful spring green silk scarf that's making me remember what spring's all about. And let me also apologize to you briefly because I called you this morning before the show, and I got your son. I think I woke him up out of bed. So so if he's looking a little sleepy when you get back, you'll know why.
Well, thanks for the heads up. That's very funny. And I'm looking at Elizabeth, and she is wearing this spectacular silver knit tank top with sequins. And my question is, I know that you've been dubbed the queen of sequins, right?
Yes, I have a reputation.
Do you wear them every day?
Well, yes. There's a little bit of a story behind that. Almost every day. We'll talk about this, but I work with older people and people that serve older people. And I have a belief that this work is glamorous, wonderful work. And not everybody's had that experience. So I run a group called the Aging in Place Business Roundtable. And I tend to appear in front of that group in all kinds of inappropriately flashy garb. And we had, as a matter of fact, in the month of February, I dubbed it sequined month. And so everybody else had to come to the meeting dressed in sequins. So we had feather boas. We had disco ball earrings. Aww. We had the men in Hawaiian shirts. We had everybody dressed to the nines just because why not?
So what's your source of your sequins?
Well, I am lucky that they happen to be fashionable at the moment. So you might want to check out Chico's, for example, or I was over at Ann Taylor Loft. And yeah, there's a lot to be had. So I'm a little bit in a bind when they go out of fashion. But I figure that wearing sequins out of fashion is even better. Wearing sequins at 9 o'clock in the morning, or like, let's say today,
8 o'clock
in the morning on a Saturday morning, especially when they're out of fashion, perfect.
I'm going to like this conversation. I can tell you that, Elizabeth. So, Elizabeth, we actually had dinner at my house this past Monday. We met several months ago, and it was just really fun getting to know you and some of your story. And you have done and do so many things.
That's
actually why we got together for dinner, because you wanted to talk about creating an internship to help somebody with all of the things that you do.
Yes.
So I'm gonna list a few of them here, but just know that these are just a few of the things that Elizabeth is doing. She's the founder and the owner of Care Is There, which is the local geriatric care management and care coordination company that she was just talking about. She's the chairwoman of Aging in Place Business Roundtable, and she was just recently named as Volunteer of the Year with the Chamber of Commerce. And I'm sorry I missed the celebration, the ceremony, but my understanding is you actually did receive a tiara.
Yes, there was a coronation. We have a British woman, Dawn Schultz, from the volunteer from the Senior Center, who's decided that I needed to be to crown the queen. So,
did you have a sequin ball gown on?
Well, I made sure to wear my flashiest sequins, which are actually a fuchsia sequin tank top that I have with a fuchsia silk jacket with a rhinestone cufflinks. So that's what I chose to wear that day. And they brought me my tiara and a sash that says Queen on it. And my name is Elizabeth, so I reminded them that, you know, there was a reason for that name. And I had a client who came, arranged her driver, and, you know, got there for the coronation and had the driver stop and pick up a bouquet of flowers for me.
Oh.
So she appears at the meeting. I wasn't expecting her. And I told her, I said, oh, hold on to those flowers because you should present them to me during the coronation ceremony. So we totally hammed it up and they put the tiara on me and the sash, which was covered with glitter. So I was covered with glitter for the rest of the day. She came up and presented me with the flowers. So, you know, we like
so is there a photograph of this available?
Yes, there is a photograph
okay.
of this available.
So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to put this photograph on my website. So when people come and listen to the show, they'll see Queen Elizabeth.
Yes. And you'll know that, like, what all this is about is that there's a group of people that serve senior citizens who are amazing, wonderful people, and we want them to have joy, like, in every moment of their life. And so we just spin up all this joy amongst ourselves so that we got all kind of stuff to take back to our clients that are sometimes suffering and, you know, have things going on. So we try to really build ourselves up so we've got lots to give them.
Thank you for doing that. I mean, what a great way to be in the world, and especially for your clients.
Part of my challenge with the sequin day was, people were a little concerned. Oh, you know, I'm going to have to change my clothes before I go back to work. I said, oh, no. You wear those sequins back to, you know, the nursing home. And they love it. And a few people did, and they came back and reported that, you know, everybody gets such a kick out of it, and everybody's, you know, eyes light up. So we're just reminding ourselves that there's all kind of room for joy no matter what you're doing.
All right. So I have to get a sequin tank top. I'm now realizing.
Yes, that's right. And
I'm feeling a little dull.
You know, you can come over to my closet because, you know, every color.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, dinner at your house next time, and I'll shop there.
We'll play dress up.
Okay. So you have a really fascinating story. And I know I just mentioned a couple things that you're currently doing, and we'll talk about more of those later. But you've got this really fascinating story, Elizabeth, that I don't know how long ago it was you switched over to what you're doing now, but I wonder if 10 or 15 or 20 years ago you would have ever thought, you know, someday I'm going to live in Charlottesville and I'm going to be working with older people. Can you tell us about your story? You went from Florida to California to Florida to here?
Yeah. To answer your question, no, I never would have expected I'm doing what I'm doing.
Yep.
And the folks that knew me, you know, 5 years ago wouldn't really recognize me today. And the people that hear about what I used to do don't, you know, understand that either. I have a degree in accounting. I spent 20 years in corporate finance. I started off as a financial statement auditor and kind of worked my way up. And ended up as the chief financial officer of an $800 million division of Dole Food Company out of Los Angeles. So I say, you know, I spent 20 years in the gray suit. And, you know, my job as CFO was to make sure that we avoided risk and that everything was done properly. And it was a wonderful company, but a kind of an old-fashioned company. So I kind of learned to color inside the lines. And I was very successful there, but there was a point at which I felt like the contribution I'm making here isn't the contribution that I really want to make with my life. I want to do something that really matters to individual people. So there I was, let's say 42 years old, something like that, and said, I asked myself a question. I said, what is it that I would regret if I stopped right now? What is it that I haven't done yet that is really important to me? And I immediately came to mind. I have two sisters, and I have my younger sister has some she has some health challenges, but she also has two young boys who I really hadn't had a chance to meet yet. And I don't have any children of my own. So I said, you know, I want to go and be with her for a while. So I went, lived with her for a year and helped her bring her photography business to where it was from a hobby to a business. And then I got an opportunity to come to Charlottesville and start some businesses. And I said, you know what I want to do is something where I can, where being with people makes a difference and being, having a business background makes a difference too. So I knew that the population was getting older and I wanted to create, a space where part of the economy could be dedicated to helping people with their parents as they're getting older. So their parents have a wonderful experience and they have a wonderful experience. So it's really kind of putting my consciousness and my awareness together with my business skills to make something available for people to have a wonderful life when maybe otherwise they couldn't.
Wow, that's great. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WINA, Real Life with Jennifer Till. And if you're just joining us this morning, Elizabeth Swider is my guest, and she's the founder and owner of Care Is There. She is officially the Queen of Elizabeth of Charlottesville because she was named Volunteer of the Year through the Chamber of Commerce. You know, one of the, well, I don't want to digress too much from, you know, your story about how you kind of got here, but one of the things I want to say is I think it's really cool what you're doing with your photography. Mm-hmm. This is a bit of a digression, but Elizabeth just decided to become a photographer and mm-hmm. you're now hanging your first show.
That's right. Yeah. It's a big time for me. Photography, you know, I was talking about what are the things in my life that were undone, and photography yeah. was one of those
okay.
things. That I've loved art, I've studied art, and I've always wanted to be an artist, but I never really kind of took the steps to become that. Mm-hmm. So and I studied with my sister, who I said is a professional photographer, and then finally I got my own camera out and started shooting and started really sharing my photographs with the world, and it turns out people really really love them, and now I have an opportunity to do this show. So it's for me, it's a story and self-expression, and also it's kind of who I am as somebody who looks for beauty wherever I am. When I'm with my clients, even if it's a bad day, even if they're having a hard time, there's always something beautiful to discover in them and in this situation. And it's the same with photography. I like to shoot pictures really up close, flowers and that kind of thing. So I'm often like rolling around in the ground, looking for that shot. And that's kind of the joy of photography for me.
Well, you have a beautiful picture sitting here
yes.
in front of us to inspire our conversation this morning.
Yes. Jennifer's looking at a photograph of that I brought of a client of mine to inspire me because she's a wonderful inspiration for me. She's been through a lot, but she has a wonderful wit and spirit about her. And one of the things that we do with our clients is we're always trying to find ways to bring them out and again, to have joy in their lives. So I was taking a drawing class, again, my pursuit of art, just exploring that for myself. And my drawing teacher said, we'd like to have our last class with a live model. Do you know anyone who could be a live model for me? And I thought, I know somebody. So we brought her out, and it's something for her to kind of get out of the house. But we brought her out, and she was our model. And in that, it was a magical, magical evening because she doesn't get to meet a lot of new people. These art students had never drawn from a live model before. And she was sitting still posing for us. So then I, pulled my camera out of my trunk, and I got the opportunity to have this wonderful photograph of her, which she loves. And then the art teacher drew a drawing from the photograph that now she's got framed and hanging in her house.
Oh.
So it's just an example of how everybody can win. Like yeah. everybody that we run across can be part of the really, what I want to in this moment say is the joy equation.
I love the joy equation.
Yes. Everybody's got like one of those variables. Everybody's got something special to add that it wouldn't be the same without that person's contribution.
Right. I have a guest on the show a few, time flies. I was going to say a few days ago, a few weeks ago, it was probably a couple of months ago, Charles Eisenstein. He talks about the gift economy. What gift can we bring to the joy equation?
Yes.
I love that idea.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, one of my little hobbies, the fun things that I like to do is whenever I'm in any situation to look for, what is the person in front of me, What is it that they're offering? There's something special they have that nobody else has. And if we can draw that out of them, then something starts to expand, and it inspires somebody else, it inspires somebody else. And it is, it's always there, and it's in everybody. And it's wonderful fun to go mining for that.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WINA Real Life with Jennifer Till, brought to you by Virginia National Bank. And if you're just joining us this morning, my guest is Elizabeth Swider. And I'm now looking through the list of all the things that Elizabeth does currently. She is the founder and webmaster of SeaVilleSeniors.org, which is an online social network of services for senior citizens. And she's also the author of The Caregiver's Secret. What's that?
The Caregiver's Secret is my blog where I talk about what we do as geriatric care managers. And I like to share some of the stories that I have with my clients, because we have these wonderful little moments together that it's just a pleasure for me to share. Like, if you look at The Caregiver's Secret, you'll see I put up a blog post, I think yesterday, about an experience I had with a client where her personal emergency response system called me at 1:30 in the morning. And it was really kind of, it was not exactly clear what was going on. So I called her. She was fine.
So you're in bed.
Yes, I'm in bed.
You're asleep.
I'm asleep.
You get this unclear phone call.
Yes. And the phone call, it is a phone call with an automated voice that says, person number one is not responding. Person number one is not responding. So I was, I knew it was her system. And so I called her and, said, are you okay? She said, yeah, I'm fine. I said, sorry to wake you up. She said, I don't never sleep. So she was, bright and wonderful. But I wanted to check it out, so I went over there in the middle of the night. It's, 1:30 in the morning, and, I'm got on my jeans and my bedhead and, not looking. I did not think to put my sequins on that time.
You weren't Queen Elizabeth in that moment.
I should have sequin pajamas, really. Don't you think?
Yeah.
I could get pulled over for, I don't know, wearing flashy pajamas. So, I went over there, and it's just a different thing when you've got Bedhead and she's in her jammies and, you're trying to figure out how to change the batteries in a personal emergency response system in the middle of the night. And we just started giggling and laughing and having the most wonderful, wonderful time. And there was just a moment of intimacy there that wouldn't have been available if in any other situation. So it's on The Caregiver's Secret. I like to share some of my little moments of joy with your mom. This is somebody's mom.
Yeah.
And they, I'm sorry for them that they don't get to have all the wonderful experiences I get to have with their mom, because we're just gal pals, we're fresh. We don't have a lot of history, and we can just sit there and giggle about, what the neighbors think that, I'm in her driveway at 1:30 in the morning.
It's actually an interesting question to explore, the idea of the complications of children taking care of or helping to take care of their aging parents, sometimes because there's some psychology involved. The stories we tell about, there's some gap between the parents we had as children, certainly, and the parents we are experiencing today. And I remember the feeling of knowing kind of when that moment switched over from them taking care of me to now it's my role to take care of them. And I just talked to so many people for whom just maneuvering the psychology of the relationship or the dynamic of the relationship makes it so difficult that they can't do it.
There's a friend who said to me, my mom installed my buttons. She likes to push them. Yeah, so there's we have the luxury of not having had, somebody else installed my buttons, not your mom.
Right.
So I would love to have people be able to, see those buttons, be able to set them aside and say, for example, my father went to the doctor recently. He was checking on some health issues. The doctor came back to say that his health issues were fine and said to my father, congratulations, you have 10 years to live. And my father was like, what do you mean? And he said, well, you're 77, your life expectancy is 87. You've got 10 years, which was good news to the doctor and bad news for my dad.
Yeah.
And I think we just all need to remember we only have so many more years with our parents.
Right. Yeah. I do go into every time I get together with my parents as though this could be the last birthday celebration. My parents are down this weekend and we're celebrating my dad's 83rd birthday. Mm-hmm. And we were going to go golfing today. My dad and I were just skiing in Aspen in February. And I mean, really, he was skiing. And every, so you know, great. I know it's really great. My mom was there and we had a great time. But it is, I think, really important to cherish these moments because, you know, I know as a mother of an 18-year-old, I'm astounded that my son's childhood is gone. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just gone. And I know it's going to feel the same way with my parents when they're gone.
Mm-hmm. So, right. Something to remember.
Yeah. Elizabeth, this is such a great conversation. Stay tuned and we'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WINA Real Life with Jennifer Till, brought to you by Virginia National Bank. And if you're just joining us this morning, my guest is Elizabeth Swider. And I was telling her that, you know, when I came in here, I had a little bit of a bad attitude, I have to say, because I didn't have my green tea and I wanted green. That's why I put the green scarf on. And I'm standing outside in the rain in as what we did identify last week as my new hairdo as the Cassadoodle, because I'm standing in the rain. My head's getting wet. My bangs are like... But anyway, I've been dazzled into submission by Elizabeth's sequins. They're just sparkling all over the place here in the studio this morning. It's been really great. So, Elizabeth, there's so much I want to talk to you about. And, you know, I want to say another thing. So we had dinner together at my house last Monday, and Charlotte Drummond, who was on the show last weekend, was the three of us were there. And the way I described the dinner to some friends later in the week is, you know, I stayed up way too late laughing for like 4.5 hours straight. It was so much fun.
We call that, a friend of mine, we call that our ab. That's when we get our ab workout.
Oh, good.
If you laugh hard enough that your stomach hurts, then you're working out.
That's great. So we were at the break, we were talking about some of the struggles we might have as children, caring for parents who may or may not have been so kind during our upbringing. I have had great parents personally. And still, even with, you know, the best of intention parents, we still have these kind of little stories that I didn't get enough, or he wasn't around enough, or she said this or whatever. And last Father's Day, we did a show with James Yates and my dad, and it was very fun. And we went through this process, and basically James was saying, you know, you get to talk about the regrets, the resentments, the appreciations, and the hopes for the relationship. And I realized that at 82 years old, which my dad was at the time, I have I have no regrets, I have no resentments, and all I'm left with is appreciation for my father. And it's really been amazing. And a few years ago, I have this ongoing dream, I call it my dream inventory, and it's 25 of my dreams. And one of them is to be complete with my parents before they die. And I feel like I'm here. You know, I don't have any place I need to go. And I know you and I talked earlier about the idea of maybe exploring ways to create special moments with aging parents.
Yes. Yeah, it's a wonderful luxury to feel like when you lose your parents that you loved each other, that you were able to express that, and you had the experience of the greatness of each other. And there is a lot of baggage that, you know, gets brought forward, and I think it's up to each of us to look for the ways that we can leave that behind. And one way to do it is to create new experiences together that are about the joy of who we are now versus, you know, where we came from. And our parents, if we look back at what they had to go through, many of them had a real struggle to do what it was that they had to do.
Yep.
And it's easy for that to get lost in the shuffle. So if we can kind of give each other a break and say we are where we are now, and the slate can be clean if we choose for it to be, and then let's choose something that works for us both together. You know, this is, I was looking outside, it's raining, it's Garden Week. I'm sort of sorry for the Garden Week folks because I love Garden Week.
Yeah.
And I love gardens, and my mother and I used to garden together. Mm-hmm. And the first time I went to Garden Week, I said, Mom, you're going to have to come and, you know, visit me during Garden Week. We'll go on the garden tour. So she, you know, was up for that. So she came up last year, and I dragged that woman to every garden and, you know, pushed her toward every posy in town. And you know, I had a great time, but I'm not quite sure it's exactly what she had in mind. And, you know, I'll say, Mom, God, sort of sorry I kind of took you on the garden march. And she said, well, I'm glad I did it then, but I'm not quite sure I could do it now. So I think that's something that I had an idea in my head about what my mom and I, you know, are together. Mm-hmm. That wasn't really appropriate anymore. There's probably some other experience that we could have had a little bit more intimacy in, because it would have been about who we are now versus what I was remembering, right, you know, that we were.
Yeah, so that gap between mm-hmm. the parents we grew up with.
Yes.
And, yeah, the reality of all of it in this moment.
And in this moment, something's happening. We're doing something. We're going to the grocery store. We're going to the doctor. Yeah. We're handling something.
Yeah.
And so we are with them then, and something is available right then, and it's usually extremely simple. It's about something we're looking at. It's about something we can laugh about together. Mm-hmm. And I think those are the moments that we end up remembering, not an event that we manufactured that we have to do this together, but when we were waiting for the doctor, you know, when something silly happened and we were able to laugh about it together, those become, you know, who we are now and what we can remember.
Yeah, as you're saying that, I'm thinking, boy, the pace of my life is so different than the pace of my parents' life at this point. And so the special moments are the ones that, in relative to my life experience right now, are so slowed down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great way and practice to come into this present moment.
You know,
rather than kind of hurtling along and getting it all done, which is
that's very typical. It's almost like, I don't know, a syndrome, they say, between people in midlife and their aging parents. Is those of us who are in midlife, you know, we got stuff to do, right? we got a list. I actually literally have a to-do list with 2,500 items on there.
Which your intern will be helping you with.
That's right. That's right. She can take the bottom 2,000. Right? But where, you know.
You do not.
Yeah, I do. I do.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's
we'll have to think about that.
To-do list of my life, and, you know, only a certain number of them are getting addressed this week, but they're on there. So, you know, we got things to do, and we've got it kind of whipped up to a pace.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're in your 70s and 80s, you don't have that much stuff you have to do. And, you know, you're not rushing around anymore. And so I think we tend to rush our parents toward, you know, down the garden path, right? Hurry up, Mom. We got to go to the next one.
Right. Right?
You know,
right,
what's wrong with this one, frankly?
Right.
You know, is one a day enough?
Yeah.
So there is a difference in pace.
Yeah.
And I think if one of the real gifts that has been given to me by my clients is to see that. I had a client one time that I was with her and I was, getting things done. And she looked at me. She said, stop rushing around. You're making me feel guilty. And I thought, you know, right on. There's I'm the way I'm being with her right now is I think I'm being productive and professional and helpful. And, you know, the way she has it is that I'm, you know, rushing. And I wasn't rushing her. I was rushing myself. But you still get the experience of rush.
Right.
And it's not what she was looking for.
Right.
So now I know, you know, when I get with my clients, the gift they have to give me is settle it on down. There's no rush here. And then I have a different experience of being alive when I'm not, you know, rushing around.
Right. So there's no place to get to. There's nothing that has to get done. Let's just be right here, right now.
Yes.
I love
it.
And
in that moment, something's available that isn't available when you're rushing from one flower to the next.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WINA Real Life with Jennifer Till, brought to you by Virginia National Bank. And I'm here, if you're just joining us this morning, with Elizabeth Swider, who is the owner and founder of Kara's There. What is it that in the absence of children, of someone's children, what services do you provide that would kind of be the substitution for what I would be doing if I lived in the same town as my parents?
Well, one way to think about it, I think, is that the first thing that happens with folks that really inhibits their independence is not being able to drive.
Yes.
So if you were to take your car away for a week, and there you are with no car, then you'll start to, like, get present to some of the things that are difficult to do by yourself without being able to drive. Get groceries, go to the doctor, run your errands, those sorts of things. That's, you know, kind of mobility driving. And then, you know, what happens if you can't hear very well? Somebody calls you to make an appointment and you can't hear what they're saying. And so you can't communicate with them. Mm. Say you can't, you're having trouble seeing, you can't read things anymore. So what I say to some of my clients is that when they hire us, they're outsourcing some of their senses.
Oh.
So, or I'll say, you know, we're your backup memory.
Oh, that's great.
So we will keep calendars for some of our clients.
Okay.
We have helped a client who was refinancing her condo to read and understand her refinancing documents so that she was comfortable signing them. We help people gather documents to file their taxes. We check clients in and out of the hospital when they need to go for procedures and stay with them through, you know, whatever they want us to be there.
Really?
For. Yes.
That's great. You know, my dad had surgery about a year and a half ago, and I remember thinking, if I weren't his advocate, I mean, I just felt like every person in the hospital needs an advocate.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's great that you stay with them.
It's huge. And a client said to me when we were sitting there waiting for her endoscopy, you know, what do people do when they don't have somebody?
Yeah.
And, you know, the truth is they just, like, do the best they can. But when you're in one of those for yourself or with somebody else, you know, everybody's really trying to do a good job. But it can be a little bit clinical. You're waiting
yes.
in there forever. You don't know what's going on. You don't know if you've been forgotten.
Right.
You don't know what's next. And often with the way the system works is you've got different pieces of the puzzle specializing, and they don't necessarily know what the next one's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice to have somebody who can carry the story from situation to situation, from doctor to doctor, and make sure that the whole person is being considered and not just, you know, that body part that day.
Yeah, yeah.
So we drive, you know, people to the airport when they want to go visit their families. We help them do home repairs. We had a client who lost her husband, and we helped her plan her husband's funeral reception. We've helped a client manage medications for their pets.
Oh.
Really, you know, yeah. any little thing
yeah.
That you just need an extra set of,
right.
again, set of senses to
yeah.
help you manage, we do that.
You know, I often think about my parents when I'm dealing with the paperwork that comes into my mailbox.
Mm-hmm.
Not my email box, my physical mailbox. And I think, God, there is just so much stuff to have to stay on top of.
Yes.
Do you help?
Yes.
With bills and
yep.
things like that?
Yes, a mail bill paying is
yeah, okay.
almost a main thing we do with some of our clients.
Okay.
And one of our clients, she's a marvelous woman who's very civically minded and has contributed to a lot of things, so she gets a lot
yeah.
of solicitations. And some of them she wants to contribute to, and some of them she doesn't. So one of the things we do is go through her mail and decide which she wants to support. And the ones that she doesn't want to support, then we call and take her off her the mailing list for
right.
those so that she
That's
doesn't
great.
Get overwhelmed by all of that. And she doesn't always see things clearly, so it's hard for her to know where to put things away.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got an organizational system with her where we help her manage what comes in, pay what needs to be paid, get her off the list of things she doesn't want to be contributing to, and get things put away so that her life is in order. And it not only is a comfort to her, it's a comfort to her daughters who live elsewhere, who, you know, they come to visit and they see the things, you know, not put away, and they're worried that maybe everything isn't being handled. So it's always the whole family that we're trying to serve, because
right.
especially, you know, when people live elsewhere and they're not sure what's going on. One thing we do is we set up a little website for our clients where whenever we go and see them or do something with them, we put a little blog post on there that emails the whole family.
Oh, that's great.
And tells everybody at the same time what's going on. And we like to put pictures up there. One client was concerned that her mom didn't have enough peanut butter. So her mom said, oh, come on, you know, I've got this giant, you know, thing of peanut butter. So I said, oh, let me get my camera. So we went over to the pantry, and she's this little tiny woman with this gigantic jar of peanut butter that she holds up, and we take the picture and put it on the blogs, and then her daughters get to see, yep, she's got plenty of peanut butter, not to worry.
That's such a great idea.
Yeah.
That is such a great idea.
And they get to see their mom having fun, and
yeah.
everybody knows everything's okay.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WINA, Real Life with Jennifer Till, brought to you by Virginia National Bank. And if you're just joining us this morning, Elizabeth Swider is my guest, and I'm just having a grand old time here. And Elizabeth is the founder and owner of Care Is There. I'm going to make the assumption you do non-medical care.
That's
is that
right.
correct?
We
okay.
we coordinate really anything. We do non-medical things ourselves, and then if someone needs medical care, then we bring in medical people.
Okay.
So we have a client right now that we have nurses coming to her home to do skilled nursing for her. So we're somebody that our clients can come to access whatever it is they need. Some of it we do ourselves, and some of it we bring in other services. I say if anybody can do it better or cheaper, we bring them in.
Elizabeth, you are also the founder and webmaster of Seville Seniors, which we talked about a little while ago. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, Seville Seniors is a social network, a little bit like Facebook, where all the senior services in town can put up a free profile to tell everybody about what services they provide. And they can post little blog posts and post events. So it's the one place that you can go in Charlottesville that has all the different services on there. So you can see postings from JABA, from the Senior Center, from the Alzheimer's Association, from businesses like mine. And so if you're looking for a service, you can go out there and see not only what's being offered, but it's a very personal thing. So you'll see people talking to people on that site. And your, you know, browsers are welcome. Everyone's welcome to come see and talk to the other service providers. And I created it because I wanted an easy way for everyone to be connected with each other, to share events with each other, to share information with each other, to show what services are available. Because even though we all have families, most of us are going to have to care for our elderly parents in one way or another. But we're not taught what's available. So I wanted people to not have to all figure it out for themselves and have a place they could go to see everything at once. So SevilleSeniors.org is what I created for that reason. And it's been wonderful to see the community coming together and talking to each other.
Are there other locations of CARES there, or is it just here in Charlottesville?
We are here in Charlottesville for now, and who knows, you know, what we might be in the future. But I've felt that caregiving is what I call hyper-local. I mean, it is you, you know, it is me and your mom.
Yeah.
It's like got to start right there.
Yeah.
And then it is the community of resources for your mom in her community. So we have to be very, very committed and knowledgeable about what's happening here. And then if we wanted to go somewhere else, then we could do that, but we would need to be very present with, you know, that person's mom in that place. So who knows what the future holds. For now, we're in Charlottesville.
So tell us about your near future with your show that you're hanging, your
yes.
photography show.
Yes, I have a photography show that's going up on May the 6th. We're going to have a First Friday's reception for that. It's happening at Anne Marie and Company on the downtown mall. It's a hair salon there across from the Market Street Garage. It's 506 East Main Street on the downtown mall. And the show is going up on May the 6th and will be up at least through the month of May. So go out and see. It's just my expression of the joy and beauty of nature, and it should be a lot of fun.
And there's a beautiful photograph also here of what is that?
What
is that thing?
Yes, that's the appropriate question.
Actually, you
right?
know what? It's the same. The eyes of this insect that I'm looking at up close and personally, almost the same color as my scarf.
Yeah, indeed. It's that springy nature color. This is a praying mantis.
Oh.
That really, really up close. And you'll see some other, you know, I like to be really up close with nature. And he's got this wonderful, like, joyful expression on his face. And I don't know if I said that the time of the reception we're having is going to be between 5 and 8 there for First Fridays on the downtown mall.
And everybody's welcome.
Everybody's
you
welcome.
You are welcome to come to this show.
I might have some sequins on. We'll see.
Oh, if you don't know what she looks like, just look for the sequins.
Yes.
And how can we find Cara's There?
www.carasthere.com.
Okay, great. Elizabeth, thank you so much. Now, don't go away yet because we have a special celebration this morning. And my executive producer, David Weiner, who's going to be coming into the studio right now. I'm trying to drag him in here. His birthday was yesterday. And David turned, I believe, 64. So what I have here is an old power bar because I didn't have, the only other thing I had was an old piece of pizza at home and I didn't want to bring that in. And an old banana nut power bar that's traveled to LA, Aspen, and wait, where else did I go? Mexico. So this is in your honor, David Weiner. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Do you want to come
David.
Say something? Come on.
What can I say? I'm almost speechless. Only because that power bar looks so really pathetic. And particularly next to the wonderful praying mantis, who I think is actually moving away from the power bar on the table. But thank you very much for the thought. And as always, it's a pleasure being with you and the one occasion I had to actually be you. So
that was when we were talking about birthing stories, right, David? Yes. That was the weekend I was sick.
That's right. I did birthing stories.
You were such a great sport. Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah, happy birthday. And I want to thank you for joining us this morning. That's about all the time we have. And remember to log on. Oh, he just blew it out.
Did you make a wish?
Yes, of course I made.
Okay, good. Remember, we'll talk about that.
Okay.
After.
All right.
Remember to log on to jenniferthill.com where you can subscribe to the podcasts. I had a friend who wanted to subscribe to the podcast and she wasn't quite sure how to do that. So if you're having a hard time with that, just send me a message through the website and we can talk about it. And I want to thank Elizabeth Swider this morning for joining us.
Pleasure.
Yeah, it really was fun. And I want to thank you, my listener, for listening. And I want to thank, on behalf of myself and my executive producer, David Weiner, and the rest of the staff here, which includes Jenna Stone, who's a wonderful intern, we all want to thank you. And until next Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, remember to ask yourself, what's the kindest thing I can do for me right now? See you next week.